Welcome to the Horror Hoarders. So, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, there's one movie during our little spree that was not an Amazon movie, as most of the others have. It's a movie that you bought with your cold hard cash.
No, I got you to buy it for me.
Oh, that's right. And it's a movie that I saw when I was younger and made a big impression on me, as I believe I was 12 or 13 when I saw it, and we were discussed today, and that movie is Species.
Being a 12 or 13-year-old boy is the perfect time to see Species.
Yes, I think that goes without saying.
So if you are and or have a 12 or 13-year-old boy, get on it. Do you want to explain in a nutshell what Species is? Before we go into it?
Alien, if hornier.
It's horny alien.
Yeah.
And full disclosure, we have recorded this episode already, and this is just us recording the intro. Last week we did Amazon horror, and then we started a Species discussion, but the Species discussion was much too long to add at the end of the Amazon horror. We decided that we wanted to make it its own episode.
And here it goes.
All right. Enjoy our discussion of the Criterion Collection film Species.
If you're into sexual thrillers and want
a sexual sci-fi thrillers,
we happen to have one for you. The last movie is the one that I got in Charleston on DVD, and it is a little known, humble sci-fi classic in the Criterion Collection, known as Species.
All right, so a little bit explanation. I don't know how we got on the topic of Species to begin with, but at some point I told you about this movie.
I'd always kind of known about it.
Yeah, okay.
It was something that came out in the 90s, and I was a kid, and I remember seeing the trailers for it, and remember being like, I'm too young to see this movie, and I knew of it, never seen it, but we were at this used bookstore, and they had a bunch of DVDs, and I was looking for horror DVDs, and they really were lacking in the horror department, but this movie kind of jumped out at me, and I was like, Species, isn't that weird sex horror? And you were like, yeah, this movie was part of my...
I think I was 12 years old when this movie came out, so
it was part of my blooming into adulthood
it was a very important movie to me.
And when you said that, I was like, I'm buying it. And you're like, no! And I was like, it's $3, shut up.
I tried to talk you out of this one.
And because it was one of those things that I always kind of wanted to see, it's kind of one of those, like, haha, I'm an adult now, I can watch this kind of things, which was what Candyman was to me, and I fucking love Candyman. Because I remember being a kid, we talked about this on this podcast, going into the theater, seeing the posters for Candyman, and being, like, terrified. Like, seriously, like, to where I would go to the other side of the aisle in the movie theater, because I didn't even want to be near that poster, because it scared the shit out of me. The trailers fucking scared the shit out of me, and that movie fucking slaps. Great movie. Species was kind of the same thing, where I remember seeing the trailers and stuff and being like, I'm too young to see this movie, and then being like, haha, I'm an adult, I'm gonna watch it now.
I was probably too young to see that movie, but...
Yo, you were the right age.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be rewatching it.
Same for me, because I was led to believe that this was the,
like, trashiest movie.
Not trashiest, like the sexiest, like, woman, hot woman turning into an alien, fucking killing people, sex movie that you would ever see. And there is that in there, I'm not going to lie. It's in there. There's full Natasha Henstridge nudity in this movie. Which I had no problem with. It was pretty nice.
Well, to me, like, a lot of the more wackadoo stuff was actually in, I think, Species 2, and I was getting the two of them mixed up a little bit.
Which I really want to watch it now, because, I mean, hey, it might suck. I don't know.
So, Species is basically the a more budget sci-fi movie, horror movie from the 90s. with H.R. Geiger designs of a, you know,
I was hoping that you would killer, mention this.
Killer, sexy lady who's also an alien monster.
If the xenomorph was a sexy woman.
Yeah, yeah, like, what if the xenomorph was sexy?
And had giant nipples.
That could choke you to death.
Giant, like
Rocko's tentacle nipples. So yeah, basically, in this movie, we really dumbly use the SETI to send out everything about humanity. It's like, hey, aliens out there, this is everything you need to know if you ever want to invade Earth.
And eventually, basically, like, this is our culture, this is our whatnot.
And eventually, they receive a message back from some unknown alien. And includes a DNA sequence.
And SETI stands for Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And that's our... Which I think is true, that we do send messages to space. But I think it's like random jazz or something.
Yeah, we send all sorts of shit out there. Yeah,
just like, hey, check this out.
But I don't think we send like information about our genetic code and, you know, our government structures and things like that.
I'm not sure that SETI did. Because SETI received a message that was, hey, here's some alien DNA. Here's a sequence for alien DNA, and the people...
So Ben Kingsley's American accent, it's like, hey, I have a brilliant idea. We're going to mix this alien DNA with human DNA and see what happens.
And what happens is...
You make a little girl. You make Michelle Williams, right?
Yep, you make little baby Michelle Williams.
And, but...
But she's kind of feisty, and they want to gas her.
Yeah, they're going to sarin gas Michelle Williams, and, Ben Kingsley...
It's cyanide, actually.
Oh, cyanide? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then his inconsistent American accent's like, okay, do it. And then she's like, fuck this, and escapes.
And gasses, as I put in my notes, gasses everybody.
Yeah, she gasses everybody. And so, the start of this movie is basically the army trying to track this little girl. She hops a train.
First of all, she yeets a hobo.
Yes. I had talked about earlier... Like, you know, we talk about, like, movies that people get thrown into walls. Like, whenever a monster needs to show that they're strong, but, you know, doesn't need to kill that character, they throw them into a wall and they're fine. I'm like, there was some movie where the monster throws someone in the wall and they just fucking die. And it was Species. That was the movie I was thinking of. And because she throws this hobo in the wall, he hits head first, he falls on his neck, and he just basically...
He's just a...
He crumples. He pretzels. Like all none of his body parts are facing the right way
when she's done with him. Like, yeah, it's awesome.
Like Michelle Williams versus Hobo is the most one-sided fist fight of all time. It was awesome.
And that pretty much is what would happen if someone full force threw you into a wall.
Right.
So.
Yeah, she fucked him up. Anyway, so your initial sympathies are with this little girl. Her name's Syl. Because the army's trying to kill her. And I'm sure she killed this hobo, but he was pretty molesty, so he, you know, no one's going to cry too much over that.
So then she hops a train, and while she's on the train, she dreams of a xenomorph.
Yeah, they get a lot of mileage out of trippy dream sequences.
And some worms.
And like a killer train and all this stuff.
And then she gets zits on her face and her hands, and the zits turn into a hentai monster.
Yeah, we're not going to give a fuck about spoilers for this movie, by the way. This movie is something else.
Then she turns into a giant vagina and eats... I said the train stewardess. I don't know what you call
it. They called her a conductor. I always thought the conductor is specifically the person doing the train. But I guess maybe it's like a general term. And maybe, you know, like... I don't know much about trains. But,
Then little baby Michelle Williams turns into a naked woman.
Yeah. Then model. Was it Natasha Hendricks?
Yes.
Who I thought actually was pretty good in this movie. I kind of remembered her like being really bad, but rewatching, I'm like, no, I'm actually kind of liking her performance.
She was pretty
like,
good and pretty hot. She does a really, really good job with, you know, that she's getting all of the English and verbiage and whatever she knows from watching TV because she's constantly watching.
Yeah,
TV.
Well, I think it's helped by the character's supposed to be kind of like wooden or unnatural because she's still learning. So,
but she gives a lot of, like, one-word replies, and then everybody thinks she's foreign, and that's really fun, and she does a great job with it.
But she does have a constant, like, sense of wonder, especially towards the beginning of the movie when she's wandering around L.A., and she's like, wow, you know.
Well, she was like, kept in a lab for her whole life, and it is
But it comes across well. Like, yeah. I don't know if she could have played, like, the scientist character, but she's doing a really good job as, like, the weirdo alien who's just now learning about human civilization.
Okay, all the scientists are fucking idiots in this movie.
Well, everyone's a fucking idiot in this movie except Syl.
There is a scene where, like, a camera battery runs out and the camera was filming. They decided to make a monster without the woman part to see what the monster in and of itself is like. So they're filming these cells dividing. The camera battery dies, and then the woman scientist, who is played by some bitch from CSI,
it's the blonde woman from CSI,
is like, I'm gonna fix it. I can change the camera out. And they're like, a woman can change a camera? What? And that's a 10-minute scene of like, she's a woman, though.
Well, they needed an excuse for these two characters to go in this room for this scary scene to happen, and that's the best they could come up with. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. We should explain. Ben Kingsley obviously needs to catch this escaped alien hybrid. So he assembles a team to track her down, and it's the scientist lady from CSI. Forrest Whitaker is a psychic.
And some fucking nerd.
Yeah, it's, what's his name from Spider-Man 2? Dr. Octopus.
Dr. Octopus.
Before he got fat. It's skinny.
Dr. Octopus before he got fat.
It's skinny Dr. Octopus as another scientist who's, like, just doesn't do shit during the whole movie.
He's just a fucking nerd. His whole point is to be a nerd.
And then Michael Madsen as, like, the tough guy. Michael Madsen at his most Madsen-y.
From Reservoir Dogs.
And no disrespect to him, man. I mean, you know, he could be a perfectly nice man. He could be perfectly pleasant. But he's just like the human embodiment of a cigarette butt.
Everybody wants to, like, fuck him.
Like, Michael Madsen, like, it's like he's if stale beer, like, gained life. Like, if human civilization, or, you know, started evolving.
He's great in Reservoir Dogs. That
beer.
Kind of role is just perfect for him.
And he just, you know.
And this role, I don't believe him as any kind of scientist or hitman.
I believe Michael Madsen as a hitman. I believe him as any kind of mafia goon. I do not believe him as a special forces, like,
leading man, sexual.
Yeah.
Sexual object kind of character.
Like, yeah, because the CSI lady, like, almost instantly falls for this guy, and she's like,
drop.
Yeah, she is, like, literally dancing at the thought of having sex with this guy. And
so,
you know,
does Syl. Syl sees him and is like, oh, my alien vagine.
And it's like, granted, I'm not always the best to judge, but it's like, really?
Anyways.
This guy looks like he's going to sell you a car.
So they set up the camera, and then an elementary school science experiment goes out of control.
But, because they want it for some reason, because we should say this team, this elite team, never actually does any detective work. This whole movie is Syl does something. They say, hey, Syl just did something over here. Then they go over there.
They go there where she's not.
But she's not there. That's the whole movie. So none of these people accomplish anything. But at some point, they're like, hey, well, why don't we see what happens if we just make the alien DNA by itself? You know, maybe that'll give us more information on how to catch Syl.
Because they have fucking oodles of time.
Well, I mean, I guess it makes sense, because it gives you an idea what her capabilities might be.
Yeah.
And they still don't know much about her, despite the fact they had her under, you know, their care for how many months. But anywho, so they do that, and they need a reason for them to go in there, and the camera is the best thing they come up with. So Michael Madsen and CSI woman go in there, and she changed up the camera, but when you know, the alien DNA is all fucked up, and it's like a big, you know, like, giant amoeba thing. It's like a formless monster that's just, like,
it's
breaking.
It's like if you mix baking soda and vinegar.
Yeah, it's just like,
and then it turns into a snake, and then they hit it with a stick.
They have to try to kill it, and Ben Kingsley wants to just burn the whole room to kill everyone, and he doesn't want to let them out because, you know, they're under quarantine, and they, like, who knows, you know, how this thing works. It could have already infected them with something. Which is a pretty good point, but
yeah, but who cares about this? Because soon after this, there's panties and tits.
Yeah, but anyway, of course, they end up escaping, and they're like, well, that was a bad idea, and we learned nothing. And so let's go on with the rest of the movie. Like, if you think the alien scene has anything to do with anything that happens before or after this movie, you're wrong. They don't learn anything. They don't learn her weakness. You know, I guess they learned that fire can kill it, but
yeah,
fire can kill most things. So,
So there's panties and tits, and then she goes to a club to find a man.
Yeah, Syl learns that she wants to have a baby. Basically,
I don't know if she knows she wants to have a baby yet. I guess she does. Yeah, because she keeps looking at women's bellies.
She sees pregnant women, and she's like, she looks like she just wants to reach in and get that baby out. But so she decides she needs to get knocked up, and so she's going to hit the clubs to find a man.
She kills a bitch for flirting with a man that she was into, which I thought she was going to steal her dress, which would be a pretty cool scene. And there's a dress that she's wearing on the cover of the movie that she never wears in the movie, and she should have. It was pretty hot. So then the goon squad busts into the club right as she's leaving with a man in her bra. Why? I don't know. She walks into her room, takes off her shirt, and is in her bra, just like flirting with dudes. And none of them are like, this woman's obviously unhinged. They're like, fuck yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess her thinking is like, hey, men like breasts. Why don't I show off my breast? And, you know, to her credit, it works.
I don't know if it would work in real life. I kind of hope it wouldn't, but it probably would. Dudes are dumb.
So she goes home with this really, like, kind of sketchy looking dude, like...
Yeah. There's a gratuitous shower scene of him, and then there's more tits. The shower dude gets kind of rapey.
Well, like, they start making out, and then she's like, no, I changed my mind, I don't want to do this. And he's like, yeah. What do you mean? It's too late now, you know. You've seen my kitchen, or whatever. Like, I don't know what his logic is, but...
And then she face fucks him with her tongue.
Yeah, she kills his ass.
And the tongue comes out the back of his head. It's pretty dope.
So
then she starts driving. How does she know how to drive? No one fucking knows.
Well, she's not very good at it. You can see there's all these scuff marks and dents in this like perfect car because she's been obviously banging into shit. I like that touch. And at this point in the movie, the cutaway a little bit is I think one of the flaws in it is they can't decide whether Seal was sympathetic or not.
They go back and forth
because she's obviously sympathetic when she's a kid. And she's wandering around wide-eyed and, like, you know, everything at the beginning. You're kind of sympathetic because, yeah, you have these Michael Madsen and his kill squad chasing after her. But it keeps going back and forth because, like, some of her kills are in self-defense. She kills the rapey guy, and it's like, okay, well, that's clearly self-defense. But then she kills that woman for pretty much no reason. She kills the poor conductor lady for pretty much no reason. I mean, you could argue that's accidental, that was, like, instinct.
Yeah.
But it kind of goes back and forth. And you think it would have a thing where she's sympathetic at the beginning, and as she gets more desperate or whatever, she gets less sympathetic until the end where she's just, like, nutting up. You think that's the way they should do it, but it's just all over the place.
Well, then this bitch gets hit by a car, and she flies through a bus stop. Some new dude takes her to the hospital. She heals herself, and the doctor's tripping balls. Then she goes home with hospital dude. She gets in a hot tub with a hospital dude naked. And then she drowns the dude when the goon squad walks in.
It's a pretty great scene because she's like basically humping his leg. It's like, hey, you know, look, let's go slow. We got all night, you know, there's no rush. And then she's like, but I want to have a baby with you. And he's like, what the fuck? And about that time the goon squad busts in. Of course, like you said, she drowns his ass.
She turns into a big teenage sphinx cat and then hentais the hospital dude to death. But no, scary scene. The lady scientist gets attacked by a squirrel. And then...
I think it's Helgenberger. Marg Helgenberger is her name.
Yeah. And then new Michelle Williams is running around nude.
Yeah, you get to see a lot of Natasha Hendricks in this movie.
Then she comes up with this scheme to cut off her own thumb. And then she ties up a lady and steals her clothes. And then there's a big helicopter goon squad chase. She kills the clothes lady with a giant gas explosion and bails from the car. And that fools everybody.
Yeah, she fakes her death, and it's kind of epic. Because, of course, this woman that she kills to fake her own death is, like, the least deserving of her victims because it's a woman that literally was just trying to help. Like, she sees her naked, and she's like...
Yeah,
help! And she's like, oh, what can I do for you? And then Seal,
that she's like a rape victim or something.
Then Seal kidnaps her and like,
which I think the whole
point puts her through the ringer, then blows her up.
The whole point of that is she's about the same size as me. Then people would believe that. That's
yeah.
Me. Scientist lady and Reservoir Dog hook up, but new Michelle Williams likes Reservoir Dog.
Well, here's where she fucks
and
up.
And then we get some science lady tits.
Well, here's where I'm surprised Morg Helgenberger showed her breasts. But anyway.
It might not be hers.
Yeah, it could be. But, so Seal faked her death and then, you know, fooled everybody. So, mm-hmm. Realistically, all she has to do is lay low for one day.
Yeah.
And then find some dude in L.A. to bang her.
She could go live in clothes lady's house.
She is. All she needs is to cool her jets for one day. And not only does she not do that, but she goes after the people that she just convinced that she's dead.
And she pursues them.
It makes no sense.
Well, but first...
It makes no sense.
She gives herself a super cute haircut and dyes her own hair.
Well, they know she's blonde, so she's got to go brunette for a little
bit. Yeah, and that fools everybody as well.
Well, they've never actually seen her as a grown-up.
That's true.
But
they did. They did see her on the
the grainy footage of the hotel.
Yeah, but they still kind of have an idea.
But anyway, like that's I just don't understand because she's shown to be pretty clever. Like obviously she's learning as she goes, but that's a pretty clever move that she did. But why in the world would you go after the people you just duped?
Because she wants to fuck Reservoir Dog.
But if you're just trying to throw them from your tail, like if you're trying to throw them from pursuing you, then showing that you're still alive is the exact opposite of what you're trying to accomplish. I don't understand that plot point.
I don't know either. So the movie can happen. So new Michelle Williams is hiding out, listening to Reservoir Dog and Science Lady fuck. And she is like, man, I want to get in on some of this Reservoir Dog ass. And then nerdy science dude walks in the door and she fucks him instead. Next best thing, I guess. Then psychic Forrest Whitaker tries to cock block. The science nerd has an awkward O face and then says, I enjoyed that immensely. New Michelle Williams gets pregnant immediately. Like, he comes in her and she's like, I feel the baby. And he's like, oh, no, you don't. And she puts his hand on her stomach and he's like, ah.
And then...
Then she turns into a cat. And then the goon squad starts passing out guns and gives Forrest Whitaker a flashlight.
We have to mention at this point that skinny Dr. Octopus is super dead.
Oh, yeah.
She kills him.
She turns into a cat to kill him.
So, if they did not have him on the team, it would actually worked out better for the goon squad. Not only did he not do anything, he actually hindered because he did not use the science for any practical purpose.
He Natasha hindered them.
And he fucked the alien, which is the one thing that you weren't supposed to do.
I mean, she was hot, though.
So
then they give Psychic Forrest Whitaker a flashlight.
He did do good drunk acting, though.
Yeah.
Props on Alfred Molina, that's his name. Molina did good drunk acting.
He was probably actually drunk. Then Psychic Forrest Whitaker can tell all kinds of shit through the whole movie. He can tell all kinds of shit. He's like, because he has this, like, super empathy. And he's like, oh, she was scared. Or, oh, she wants to hide. He can tell all this random-ass bullshit through the whole movie. But he can't tell which way she fucking went in the sewers.
Let's talk about Forrest Whitaker in this movie for a second. Let's pull back from the recap for a second and talk about Forrest Whitaker. Because I think he's the highlight and low light of this movie, because he's an actual actor playing this terrible character who is basically Deanna Troying all over the place.
We are back. We just went to go eat Easter dinner. I'm highly religious, so that was a very important celebration of eggs. All right, so where we left off, we were talking about species, and we got in the part where Psychic Forrest Whitaker has, for the entirety of the movie, been able to tell random details.
Well, sort of. Forrest Whitaker is, for some reason, dressed like the fabric of a bus seat for most of this movie. He's wearing that, that kind of scratchy fabric that you always see on, like, buses and stuff. Anyway, most of this movie, he's been, like, kind of the Deanna Troy useless psychic. Like, he goes to, there's been a grisly murder with blood and alien slime all over the place, and he touches his forehead. He's like, something terrible happened here. She was afraid before she died. Like, okay, thank you, Forrest Whitaker. We could have never figured that one out if not for your amazing psychic powers. But towards the end of the movie, where they actually need to have some sort of resolution, his powers get a little bit more impressive, because he's able to figure out that Seal is here in the hotel when everyone else thinks she's dead. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh shit, she's pulled a fast one on us.
And no one believes him because he's the boy who cried something bad happened here. Well,
you know, I hold it against him, but to be fair, he's been pretty useless. But he's been the least useless member among them because none of the other ones have actually contributed anything.
Yeah.
The only people who've actually helped on this chase are whatever analyst we don't see that's saying, hey, there's a police report that matches our victim or something like that. Like, none of our four main characters are actually accomplishing dick all.
The rest in this of them are movie. Trying to fuck each other.
Yeah, they're more interested in getting their, you know, fuck on with each other. But anyway, so. Yeah, Forrest Whitaker, who along with Ben Kingsley are the only actual, like, actors in this movie. And both slumming it. And he's like, oh shit, Seal's here. And he realizes that Seal's with Alfred Molina, who I guess he's an actor too. Even though he's Dr. Octopus.
He's a fat octopus.
But instead of, like, bursting in, he's like, well, I'll try to get the other two to help me out.
So he goes into a room where the other two are fucking.
Yeah, he, like, cock-blocks there, and then...
and then, like, hey, let's go cock-block this other guy.
But, yeah, oh my god, like, I didn't realize there's a scene where it's, like, Marg Helgenberger's, like, giving oral sex to Michael Madsen, and that just disturbed me on every level, like... like, lady, don't do it. You can do better.
But he said please.
Well, anyway, so of course, because he's super awkward about it, so by the time they actually get there, not only is Seal gone, but Alfred Molina's, you know, completely exploded. Fucking dead. Like, so now it's a, you know, it's a ticking clock, because you don't know how quickly, you know, this alien bitch is going to give birth.
It's a ticking cock, because you don't know how soon Mads Mikkelsen, or whatever his name is to coming.
Yeah.
And it's not Mads Mikkelsen. I forgot his name.
It's Michael Madsen. Mads Mikkelsen in this movie, probably a different movie.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
So they do chase. They go into the sewer. Because now Forrest Whitaker's like a bloodhound. He's like, he can track her like to a...
Yeah, she went down here. And then he's like, then he gets to like a fork in the doo-doo. And he goes... I don't know where she went. I can't pick up her signal.
Yeah, it's like psychic powers work on the same way like a bloodhound dog actually does. It's running water. He's like, oh shit, I lost the scent. So they have to split up. And it's Ben Kingsley and Forrest Whitaker on one side and Mark Helgenberger, Michael Madsen on the other side.
Which Forrest Whitaker is still walking around with nothing but a flashlight.
Yeah. Then Seal kills Ben Kingsley, who doesn't put up a fight because he's like, finally, I can be out of this fucking movie.
Yay!
And I guess Forrest Whitaker gets his gun at this point because he's carrying a gun in the next scene.
Yes, so he finally is not just black dude with a flashlight.
Seal gives birth and, like, her baby immediately eats a rat.
And, yeah, like, he sticks out his tongue like a frog and eats a giant rat.
Yeah.
And then the baby grows up within, like, 20 minutes to be, like, a six-year-old.
Yeah, and to be fair, they did kind of say, like, she grew up real quick, but it's, like, 6 months. She was, like, 12 years old after 6 months. And he's, like, five?
Yeah, after, five or six after, but like, it's 20 minutes.
Yeah, after 20 minutes. So, I don't know. You know, they operate on different roles, I guess. But, so... Forrest Whitaker gets the kid. Forrest Whitaker literally burns a newborn to death in this movie.
Well,
but he turns into a monster first, so, you know. I think it would be gnarlier if he burned a kid when he was still in kid form. Like, but they didn't want to go that far. And then there's the big climax is Seal facing our three heroes, and it's not much of a climax because
her nipples detaching.
Yeah, they become tentacles and start choking Michael Madsen out. Marg Helgenberger gets stuck between two rocks somehow, so she's out of it for pretty much the entire thing. She has nothing to do. And eventually Michael Madsen gets loose.
And Marg,
a fire starts somehow, like the sewer's on fire. I'm not sure.
Someone had a flamethrower.
Yeah, but...
And I guess doo-doo is flammable.
Well, I didn't think, like, piss water would be catch on fire, but whatever. And then, at the end, Michael Madsen blows her head off. She falls into the fire. And that's that for Seal.
Or is it?
It's a really awkward climax. Like, I actually was kind of, like, digging the movie. I really liked following Seal and her evading capture and seeing what she was up to. this confrontation scene was just very dull.
Yeah.
Like, the heroes don't do anything clever to catch Seal. Seal doesn't do anything clever to elude them. There's not even a good fight. It's basically her jumping around the ceiling until he shoots her. And then Forrest Whitaker is hanging off a cliff, like, literally for no reason. And he can't pull himself up, but he's not falling either until they rescue him. And then the woman just spends the whole time caught between two rocks for no reason.
Well, she was going to chew her own arm off, but they decided that would be a little...
Well, it just and she eventually just unsticks herself. Like, she goes, oh, wait, I can free myself.
Oops.
I thought I was stuck, but I wasn't actually stuck. And you could tell the actress wasn't stuck. She was just kind of sitting there and like, oh, no, I'm stuck. But
it's like
she's
when
clearly
you fall,
not.
It's like when you fall in and, like, fall down in, like, foot-deep water and you're like, I'm drowning.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
So they tease a sequel with a rat. Like, when the rat somehow... got Seal DNA and
the rat starts eating one of the tentacles.
Yeah.
One of the titty tentacles.
Which it doesn't really make sense, but they for the sequel they did not go with Sex Rat as the sequel.
Oh, Sex Rat is my band's name.
So the alien species rat survives to as far as we know this day because he never got addressed in the sequel. So presumably in the species verse there's somehow still a mutant alien sex rat running around, tongue flicking everything it sees.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you think of Species?
Well, I went into it thinking that it was just, like, basically an excuse to make a softcore porn with an alien woman that's trying to fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna lie, part of it is an alien woman trying to fuck, and there is some softcore porn elements, but it's a little more than that.
Well, it wasn't as much as I remembered it. Like, I remember at 12, like, oh my god, there's titties everywhere, like, you know. But it's really, like, I won't say tame, because it's a kind of a bonkers movie, but it's not as exploitive and trashy as I remembered it.
There's a fair amount of titties in it. Like, I've been kind of rating movies on who you could show this to. I wouldn't show this to your kids.
I don't know who I'd show this to.
Yeah, your friends that like weird shit.
Like I said, it's not good enough to be a good movie, but it's not bad enough to be a truly, like, bad movie.
No.
It's just kind of a B movie. Like,
it is, like, a decent movie. This is the kind of movie where if you are bored on a Sunday flipping channels and this is on FX, you'll watch it. So this is definitely a bored on a Sunday movie. So if you're bored on a Sunday, you need something to watch, watch Species. It's widely available.
It'll
hold your entertainment.
I will say this.
Hold your attention an hour or so.
I think Under the Skin is a soft reboot of Species.
Under the Skin?
I think Under the Skin is like the art house version of Species.
Under the Skin is very similar. Under the Skin is a movie from 2016, maybe, with starring Scarlett Johansson. It's based on a book.
Was that one A24?
No.
Okay.
It's some other art house company. It's based on a book of the same name, and it's about an alien, and she's not trying to get pregnant.
No, she's seducing people for their skin.
Yeah. And is she taking their form or just trying?
No, she's just collecting their skin for some unknown reason. But she never changes form. She's Scarlett Johansson the entire time until the end.
I guess it's trying to hide her alien form or be able to sustain her.
Yeah, it's either for food or she's somehow collecting them for some reason that we're not told. Like, it's some sort of weird alien science experiment or something.
And the movie is Scarlett Johansson going around in a van and picking up people and taking them to this black room where she turns into a blob and consumes them. And fun fact about this movie, Under the Skin, Scarlett Johansson actually did drive around in that van and try to pick people up, and some of the people that get into the van are people that she just picked up. And if I was in Scotland and Scarlett Johansson was trying to pick me up with a van, I would definitely go for it. I'd be like, I don't care what this scheme is.
All right,
I'm in.
Who do you think would win in a fight? Scarlett Johansson from Under the Skin or Syl from Species?
Syl. Because Scarlett Johansson is an amorphous blob and Syl has nipple hentai tentacles.
She's an amorphous blob. She has a form. Like, at the end of the movie, she's out of her human suit and she's still a humanoid. But, yeah, she didn't have attack nipples, so...
Attack nipples are gonna win every time. I feel like you can watch Species any boring Sunday afternoon. Species 2 for sure is on YouTube for free.
Oh, Lord.
Wink. So check those out. Check us out. If we said anything absolutely wrong or you have a question or comment, email us at horrorhoarders@gmail.com. We're trying to be on social media, but I hate social media, so I'm never doing anything with it. I should get Jess to run them. I think that's it. Love you, bitches. Stay spooky.
Thank you for your time.